हरे सहना सहना भुनक्त सहभेयंकर तेजस्विनावधे तमस्तु मद्विषावहै शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So now we've heard how the Jarakaru, he left, and that a son was born, and he was very, very intelligent, very grave, you know, well-learned, well-trained. So then continuing with, this is section 49, Shonaka said, "Tell me again in detail all that King Janamejaya had asked his ministers about his father's ascension to heaven." Sauti said, "O Brahmana, hear all that the king asked his ministers and all that they said about the death of Parikshit." Janamejaya asked, Know ye all that befell my father? How did that famous king in time meet with his death? Hearing from you the incidents of my father's life in detail, I shall ordain something, if it be for the benefit of the world, otherwise I shall do nothing." Right? In other words, he wants to hear and he wants to do something. If there is something to be done in relation because of his death, then that would want to be discussed. And then from that he will make a decision if there is something that needs to be done. Does that make sense? If there's some justice to be carried out, that's the king's business. And if not, then, you know, as it is, it will remain. The minister replied, "Hear, O monarch, what thou hast asked, namely, an account of thy illustrious father's life and how also that king of kings left this world. Thy father was virtuous and high-souled and always protected his people. O hear now how that high-souled one conducted himself on earth." So here he says, he gives virtuous, high-souled, and always protected his people. So virtuous means he did everything properly. High-souled means that he was always developing very good qualities, you know, uplifting himself. And then this last point is that always protected his people, because that's a specific dharma, right? It means anybody can be virtuous and high-souled. But as a kshatriya, then he's doing that. So we see also the order. Order is first is the ashram, right? Then is the duties of the varna. Does this make sense? This should not be confused with, means of the two. Varna means your occupation. Ashram means the spiritual order, right? So spiritual is always higher than, you know, general occupation, because the spiritual is actually the real occupation of the soul, right? Does that make sense? But for determining ashram, then you look at the varna, because depending upon that, then you decide what ashram they would be in. Does that make sense? You know, just like shudras aren't generally very inclined towards strict brahmachari training, right? So then if that's there, then if they are, nice, and if they're not, you don't worry about it, right? But if they're brahman, kshatriya, or vaishya nature, then they should have that training. Does this make sense? Like that. If they're Brahmins, then they could get married or not get married as they, you know, as is best for them. But if they're Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Shudras, then they should get married. Does that make sense? So you can determine like that. But of the two, the most important is the ashram, because that is the, where all the qualities are, the fundamental qualities are developed. That's where the real training goes on. Then that is applied again in one's varna. Does that make sense? In one's occupation. It means if you've developed good character in the ashram, you will also then be able to practice and manifest good character in the occupation. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So they both go back and forth. Just like of all the orders of life, then the grihastha is considered the best, because from that you springs all the other orders. Right? From grihasthas you get brahmacharis. You know, grihasthas themselves become vanaprasthas and sannyas. Grihasthas generate the funds and food with which they maintain the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyas. Does that make sense? Right? The grihastha is the one that make the money that pay the taxes to the kshatriyas, right? And give charity as vaishyas. Does that make sense? So, therefore, they're the center of the whole thing. Because of them, then the whole varnashram system works. Right? Does that make sense? But at the same time, as we know that of the respected, then the sannyas is, because that's the whole purpose, is to get out of the material world. So sannyas, therefore, is considered the superior position. But as far as it operating in the material world, then the grihastha is the most important. Does that make sense? For operation, grihastha is the most important. For getting out, sannyas is the most important. So in the same way, for determining what your best situation in ashram is, you look at varna. But the ashram is actually the primary of the two, because that's where your spiritual development is, your culture, your character, your values. Does that make sense? Right. Okay. Oh, here, how that high-souled one conducted himself on earth, like unto an impersonation of virtue and justice. The monarch, cognizant of virtue, virtuously protected the four orders, each engaged in the discharge of their specified duties. Of incomparable prowess and blessed with fortune, he protected the goddess Earth. There was none who hated him, and he himself hated none. Okay. Like an unto an impersonation, it's a funny wording, but what it means is he was like, you know, himself, the personification of virtue and justice, right? Here, meaning an impersonation is not in a negative connotation. Does that make sense? Huh? Yes, yeah, this is the 1830s English, you know? I mean, once I saw a thing where it was, I forget, one of the kings of England, you know, way, way back, some hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, he was commenting on some architectural structure that had just been built. And the words he used today mean he was absolutely, you know, disgusted with the whole thing. But in those days, that meant it was really good. You know, just like you go, wow, check that out. Ooh, bad. You know, it means it's nice. You know? You know? Does that make sense? Or so it's just the words, you know, like horrendous, it actually means, I think, something like very great and something like that. So he was saying all these adjectives like that, you know. So I don't know, you ever seen that quote? Okay, so it's like that. So here is the, like unto an impersonation of virtue. And that, you know, here it doesn't mean impersonation, meaning he's looking like it, but he's not. Here they're meaning that he is, you know, but he is different, so. Okay, so that means he's done there. Cognizant of virtue means he's aware of it, right? It's not only he's practicing it, but he's aware of what is virtue. Then he's protected the four orders and sees that they're engaged in their activities, because it's through the living entity engaged in the varnashram system that he's able to connect all his nature to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Varnashram is how to connect all the different aspects of my personality and nature to Krishna. Does that make sense? So if you protect the system and you make sure everybody's doing it, that means everybody's God conscious. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you have the problem is, okay, you have your Krishna conscious moments, and then you have your non-Krishna conscious, right? Because you're distracted by something else. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. He protected the goddess Earth, right? So he was, you know, saw that the nature also was taken care of. So not only the humans, but also nature, the animals, the trees, everything. He didn't see that it's exploited. It's all taken care of properly, right? There was none who hated him, and he himself hated none. This is very important for if you're going to manage and be a leader, right? Success is not just that you got something done by yelling and screaming and making everyone uncomfortable. But it's you're able to get things done and people still like you, right? So it's not to get people to like you, and it's not just to get things done. It's to get things done and they still like you. Or because they like you, they get it done. Right? Does that make sense? So you don't compromise getting the work done so that everybody likes you. And you don't compromise everybody liking you for getting the work done. You have to find what works that balances it, right? That's a leader. Yeah? Okay? Remember that when you're making nasty comments to the others when you're, you know, I say, doing your management. Like unto Prajapati, Brahma, he was equally disposed towards all creatures. O monarch, he kept no favorites. That's also very important. When a lead, you can't keep favorites. It means someone who responds better to the direction and all that, you may give more input, but it's not that they're favorite, right? Does that make sense? Because if they're not responding, then they'll get whatever, you know, attention they deserve. Does that make sense? Like that. O monarch, Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras all engaged contently in the practice of their respective duties, were impartially protected by the king. Right? Okay, so those who were properly done, they were impartially, you know, everybody was taken care of nicely. So it wasn't that all the Brahmins are special or the Shudras aren't or this or that. No, everybody, according to the position, was taken care of. Widows and orphans, the maimed and the poor, he maintained. Right? So he saw that anybody who couldn't take care of themselves, then the state was organizing for them. Right? So it means you're going to have that in the temple or in a yatra. You're going to have persons who can't take care of themselves, right? Now, you know, you see the movements getting older, so there's not that many, but with time there's going to be, always every yatra is going to have quite a few persons that are old or widowed or, you know, some kind of disease, so they have to be taken care of, right? They're not a burden, they're just part of what you do. Does that make sense? You know, you shouldn't think, oh, we could save money if we kicked them all out. No. It's a matter of, you know, if they behave properly in that and are Krishna conscious, then they're taken care of, and whatever little service they can do, then they reciprocate. Right? Does that make sense? Of handsome features, he was unto all creatures like a second soma, cherishing his subjects and keeping them contented, blessed with good fortune, truth-telling, of immense prowess. He was the disciple of Saraswat in the science of arms. Right? So handsome features means that means you have the element of just the particular physical features, but it's if the character is nice, you're naturally attractive. Does that make sense? Like little kids, all little kids look nice, right? Because of the certain seeming purity that's there. So they are nice. It's just like, I don't know if you've ever seen like even a baby donkey, right? They look cute. You know, they got all the extra fuzz on the top of their head and stuff like that. So anything small looks cute, right? Doesn't matter. So that handsomeness then is here, it's more mature, but it's just there's a nice attitude. But besides, we know his piety, he also looked very nice. But more important is the attitude, right? Like a second soma, because soma is very pleasing, right? This, the moon is very pleasing, nourishing, all that. So you're very happy upon seeing. Like that. Okay, cherishing his subjects means that was what he was always focused on. It wasn't just, you know, his 9-to-5 job. It's what he actually, what he would take care of. You know, like a parent, they take care of the kids all day. There's something. They may have their different duties, but it's all focused around that. Does that make sense? Keeping them contented means seeing they're happy, not getting them to do what you want to do, seeing that they're satisfied. They're satisfied because they're doing what they should be doing. Does that make sense? Yeah? Because if you do what you're supposed to do, you're happy. Right? Okay. Blessed with good fortune, truth-telling, means because he always tells the truth, therefore then people will take him seriously, right? The king, he says, okay, this will be done, then if he always, it always gets done, then you believe him. It's important, right? Because many things are based on faith, so unless they trust your words, then it won't work, right? Does that make sense? So by telling truth, then faith is generated. Of immense prowess means, you know, besides being nice and everything and gentle and caring, sensitive, it didn't mean he wasn't powerful, right? Nowadays it's like, you know, if you're tough and you're powerful, you're not sensitive. And if you're sensitive, then you know you're a wimp, right? But that's not the Vedic standard. The Vedic standard is you're very powerful, but you're very gentle and careful and considerate when you deal with others, right? Does that make sense? Disciple of Saraswat in the science of arms, so he's very knowledgeable in all the weaponries and all that, so technically he knew what's going on. It wasn't that he, yes? Because Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge, so she has all knowledge. So in weaponry, then you have to also know more. See, if you just know the arm itself, I know how to swing the sword this way and that way and block this way and block that way. But I also should know the psychology of the person I'm doing and how to read the subtleties that are there. So I can see if they're scared, if they're this, if they're that, if they're... Does that make some sense? Then you'll be able to see patterns, you know how they function. Right? So it's much more. See, because Saraswati's a goddess of learning. Doesn't mean she doesn't know how to deal with her weapons, right? You never seen Durga go out with all their weapons and stuff like that? Yeah. I mean, when the demigods, when push comes to shove, and the demigods don't know what to do about a big demon, then they call out Ma Kali, right? You understand? So just because they look gentle and cute and, you know, keep themselves all covered up doesn't mean that, you know, when things get rough that they can't, you know, do something. Does that make sense? And, oh, but also that means disciple of Saraswat means he would be learning in the proper parampara from Brahmins in the proper way and everything, right? Because the science of arms is also more than just the weapon itself. There's the mantras, there's the attitude needed in that, there's the whole military science, strategies, you know, diplomacy. Does that make sense? Like that. And O Janamejaya, thy father was dear under Govinda. Right? Here's another one of those 25,000 verses that are the real essence. You know? So this is what means we listed all those things. So this is the most important of all of them. But your general person may not catch that this is there. Of great fame, he was loved by all men, and he was born in the womb of Uttara when the Kuru race was almost extinct. And therefore, the mighty son of Abhimanyu came to be called Parikit, born in an extinct line. He's also, he was, means as Bhagavatam explains it, as the examiner, right? He would always come and anybody he'd see knew, he'd go right up very close and look in their face to see if that was, you know, see if it was Krishna. Because when he was in the womb, he saw Krishna. So he would always go to everybody to see if that was Krishna. Well versed in the interpretation of treatises on the duty of kings, right? Because you have to be able to know how to apply the rule. You got the rule, but if you can't properly interpret how to apply it, you'll make a mistake. So that's why you have to have good qualities and be pure and intelligent. Right? I mean, in other words, you can't be a good king or a good administrator if you don't have good character, right? Being tough and mean, those are the guys that the kings hire, right? Does that make sense? Those are bodyguards and, you know, warriors and like that. But they, all they do is fight. You know, they're tough, they look cool, they fight. That's all. But a king means he knows how to interpret, how to apply it, and to do that he has to be pure and virtuous, right? Then he can tell actually what to do. Does that make sense? So that's, these are the keys to management, right? You want to know what's managed? There's so many management books out. These are the ones. These are the qualities. Okay? You want to manage people for uplifting the culture. That's what a kshatriya does. This is the thing. You want to manage people to make money. That's another thing. Right? But higher than that is managing them so that they're uplifted. Does that make sense? Yeah. He was gifted with every virtue, with passions under complete control. Intelligent, possessing a retentive memory, right? Means he remembers stuff. You know, oh, how come you didn't do this? Oh, I forgot. And you didn't come on time for that? Oh, I forgot. And, you know, what about this? Oh, I forgot. Right? So retentive memory means that, you know, he keeps it, right? No. The practitioner of all virtues means he would practice it himself. The conqueror of the six passions of powerful mind, surpassing all and fully acquainted with the science of morality and political science. The father had ruled over these subjects for 60 years. That's quite a good amount of time. And then he died. He then died, mourned by all his subjects. And after him, O first of men, thou hast acquired this hereditary kingdom of the Kurus for the last 1,000 years. Okay, so Janamejaya. So then that also places it. Mahabharata was, you know, then 1,000 years after when Purkit Maharaj then left. Pretty good. Yes.
Was the Yudhishthira's empire divided later when Janamejaya got it, or was it still one empire?
I'm not sure, but you get the idea. It was still one. You know. Yes.
Right. Also, it says Parikshit Maharaj had the six passions of mind. Is that the same Vajrayana situation?
Yeah, I would say so. That, but also we can check. There's other things. Well, that's no. There's six. I'll have to look. But there's two sets of things that the kshatriya has to keep under control.
Might be superstition, lust, greed.
Oh, could be. Yeah, that also. Lust, greed, anger, fear, attachment, illusion, and madness. Right? Like that. Generally, most of the kids here, I think, have to work on the madness one. Right? That's, that's their weakness. Like that. So then so that's there. But otherwise than that, then the king has, I think 10 aspects of passion and 10 aspects of and 6 aspects of anger that the king has to keep under control. You know, like hunting and other things like that. Otherwise, say gambling, like you see is Yudhishthir and Nala, they had problem because of gambling. Right? Vichitravirya had a problem because of women. Then Pandu and Dasarat had problems because of hunting. Right? Like this, so you see all these different... I think it was... Venu, he had problems. You know, you take land from people and just do things that you shouldn't do. So you see, is that any... There's example in history of a king who's always lost because of these different things. So, you know, it's very important that they have all these things there. Because the more powerful something is, the more it has to be contained and directed. Right? You know, it's just like if you have a bicycle, then, you know, there's not much problem. You know, you can ride it as fast as you can. And it's, you know, to some degree dangerous. But if you have a motorcycle, then it's more powerful, so it's more dangerous. And the bigger the motorcycle, the more dangerous. I've even seen motorcycles where they put V8 car engines on them. You know, so very dangerous. Does that make sense? So it has to be controlled more, otherwise there's a problem. Does that make sense? Yes.
Link,
yeah. Yeah, does that make sense? So it means all your qualities, whatever you can do, is held together. Wherever the weakest link is, that's where the difficulty will come up. Yeah? Make sense? Doesn't make sense. Sure? Yeah? Okay. Very good. Acquainted with morality and the political science. Morality is niti, right? And the niti is basic your social psychology, how you deal with people, right? The first thing that niti always deals with is fools, right? What is a fool and how to avoid them, right? Like that. And then political science and how to interact and properly to get, you know, things done. Okay. And after, okay. Thou was installed while a child as that, and art thus protecting every creature. Janamejaya said, where there hath not been born in our race a king who hath not sought the good of his subjects or been loved by them. Behold, especially, no, one would ask, well, how come he's asking about his, you know, father? One, he was small, he was a child. And two, it was 1,000 years before, so, you know, he was just asking what was happening. Behold, especially the conduct of my grandsires, ever engaged in great achievements. How did my father, blessed with many virtues, meet with his death? Describe everything to me as it happened. I am desirous of hearing it from you. Right here is, the thing is, now he's hearing, Janamejaya is hearing from his ministers, that means Brahmins, right? The Kshatriya always hears from his superiors, the Brahmins. He always keeps Brahmins, he always hears them, he always reveres them. He's the king of the whole country or the whole world, but he still bows to the Brahmins. Does that make sense? That's the king. That's why this is trained as a brahmachari, right? Or as, you know, as student-like. Student means they're always respect for their teacher. They always offer their respects to the teacher. Does that make sense? Yes? What?
Just a question about the timeline.
Timeline. He may have been born already at the, you know, in other words, those born at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga still have their long lifespan. You know, but it's, you know, somebody's got to be. Yeah, you know. So, like even you see in the Old Testament of the Bible, when it's giving the timeline there, you know, some of those different great personalities are living 900 years, 600 years, 300 years, 5. So they think it's a bit funny, but it's there, so they leave it. But because you're you know, at the end of the Kali, the Dwapara Yuga. So it's not necessarily that, you know, when Kali Yuga starts, then everybody shrinks, you know, and you come out of your house and, you know, you have to, before you had to watch out not to bump into the cats and dogs, and now you got to watch out you don't step on the little, you know, little people of Kali Yuga, and, you know, your big banyan tree in your backyard shrunk down and now it looks like a weed, and, you know, stuff like that, you know. Means it will gradually go off. Does that make sense? Yeah, there's always a Sandhya. It means, what is the Sandhya? I think a Sandhya is 500 years, and depending upon how many parts it has, then that many is the Sandhya. Yeah, so it's like, I think, Kali Yuga is one part. Yeah, and then it means if you working according to the demigods, then I think it's 1,000 years of the demigods, the Kali Yuga. So the Dwapara will be 2,000 years, the Treta will be 3,000, and the Kali will be, and the Satya will be 4,000. Right, so 4 and 3 is 7, 2 is 9, and Kali is 10. So as many of that, so you take 500 of our years, I think, then that's what a Sandhya is. So then for the, there'll be 4 of those before and after the beginning for the, in the Satya. Then there'll be 3 before and 3 after for the Treta, and then two before and two after for the Dwapara, and then one before, one after for the Kali. Right? So that'll be added on to what's there. So you have the Dwapara is two after, but then the Kali is one before, so you have three. So that means 1500 years would be the Sandhya that we would know. So in that time, things would be winding down slowly. Does that make sense? You know. So that's why within the Kali Yuga, where you are getting recorded history, then it appears that, you know, when you go back, that there's all these kind of like mystical and seemingly like mythical events happening. But you still had some of the leftovers of the Dwapara Yuga happening. Does that make sense? Like that.
Sometimes Treta and Dwapara are swapped.
Treta and Dwapara.
So then, but still, then the amount of lifespan is still decreasing, even if they're swapped.
Yeah, well, it means it would just swap there. In other words, Treta would be, if Treta is like this time first, then it's got three parts, and Dwapara has two. And in the other words, when it switched, then Dwapara would have three, and Treta would have two. So it's just the position, though the names change. Main thing what's changing is the Yuga Dharma, right? So Dwapara is deity worship. So it's only when Swayam Krishna comes and Swayam Lord Chaitanya, you connect the two, because it's this Krishna is that Lord Chaitanya. Does that make sense? But otherwise, every Dwapara Yuga the deity is black, and every Kali then he is golden. But there's not it's a Vishnumurti, so there's not necessarily a need to connect them. So he's simply coming and performing the Harinam Sankirtan, right? But it's not that it's specifically the same manifestation of the same personality of Godhead, right? You know what I'm saying? He has unlimited forms, so it can be any one of those forms. Does that make sense? Yeah, this is Gaur Narayan. So all it is he's doing that Yuga Dharma, but here, because of the, when you're dealing with Swayam Krishna, then here he's coming, taking that form to understand the mood of Radharani. Does that make sense? So there's more of a need to connect the two. Therefore it switches, so then Krishna is just here and immediately then there's Lord Chaitanya. Does that make sense? It makes it... It's like, in your mind, okay, Lord Chaitanya is 500 years ago, and Krishna is 5,000 years ago. You can basically kind of, with your mind, grasp it and keep it. Now, if Lord Chaitanya was 500 years ago, and Krishna was so many millions of years ago, you wouldn't really make the connection. That closeness or intimacy or wouldn't really work. Does that make sense? Like Ramachandra is just a long time ago. You don't really put a time frame on it. Right? But Krishna you do, and so then you can connect the two. Does that make sense? Yes?
What does
Swayam Mahaprabhu give that the others don't? The actual entrance into Braja Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Other forms of Vrindavan are open, but Braja Vrindavan's not. Right? Does that make sense? Because there's all kinds of others. Like Nimbarka came before Lord Chaitanya. He came actually at the end of Dwapara Yuga. So like 5,000 years ago. But he gave worship of Radha and Krishna in the spontaneous mood. But it's Ananda Vrindavan, where they're always together. There's always sambhog. Radha and Krishna are always together. They're not separated. So it's like our deity worship. They're always together. Like that. But in Braj, then there's this element of separation. You know what I'm saying? Means, if they're always together, it's nice and it's going to develop at a nice pace. But it's pleasant. There's no surprises. It's full, but it's the... and the immersion is full, but the... emotional intensity is actually perceived less. You know, it would be less, and it's perceived as... You wouldn't notice it. You'd be so absorbed in the niceties of the pastime. You know what I'm saying? But when separation is there, then it's suddenly going from the happiness of being together to the distress of being apart, and then to again being together, and again. So it's much more intense, and therefore the development of it is much more quick. Yes. Yeah, you could say it's also the Swakiya is more, is like full or absolute, because they're not together and they can't always be together. While in the Ananda Vrindavan, it's there, it's Parakiya, but they're always together. So it's almost basically like, it's technically not Swakiya, but it's all the elements of Swakiya. But here, Parakiya, it's not, you know. And then in other Vishnumurtis, the Radha Krishna are married. You know, so it's, you know, the Yuga avatar is Krishna and he's black, and his wife is Radharani, who's golden, and like this. You know, so they're the worshipable deity, but it's a form of Vishnu. It's like the, you know, you see the Madhvas and the Shris. They appreciate the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. But it's Vishnu doing those pastimes. Does that make sense? Sauti continued, thus directed by the monarch, those counselors, ever solicitous of the good of the king, told him everything exactly as it had occurred. Here's another point for the Brahmins in the crowd here, is like that. Is directed by the monarch. In other words, if you're taking the ministers as Brahmins, as in one sense seniors, advisors, but then they do as directed by the king. Right? Isn't it? Just like the child is junior to the parent, right? But, you know, sometimes the child says, I want to eat this or I want to do that, and then that's what happens. Right? So you can see it out of affection. Right, out of relationship, then it goes like that. So it's not that because you're senior, no one ever tells you what to do, no one ever this, no one ever that. Yes, that's for someone who's, you know, a monolith, you know, a block of some variety of dead substance, you know, that floats back past, 6 years ago, I think it went by. And I don't know if anyone caught that one, but. So then, does that make sense? You know, we have this idea of what's cool and tough and this and that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that cool and tough and all that's human. I don't know if you've ever carefully studied a monkey sitting on a wall, right? Especially the kind of short, not the black-faced ones, not the langurs, because they're a little bit more of Moda goodness there. They're a little bit more interactive. But the kind of, you know, the stockier, tougher...
Rhesus.
Those are called rhesus, like the Vrindavan ones. Those are rhesus. Rhesus. Isn't that a Spanish name? Rhesus? Huh?
Rhesus is Spanish.
Huh?
Rhesus.
Yeah, rhesus. Yeah, okay. Does that mean they're connected to Hanuman or something? Well, Lanka was connected to South America, right? Maybe. And Hanuman did visit. Actually, Hanuman did visit the thousand. What was it? Mahiravana. Maybe there's some connection there. So, yes.
Who was mentioning that there is one place in South America named after Hanuman?
Oh, okay. So that's okay. And then if you go there, there's a temple and all the priests are Reese, right? Okay, whatever. So, we were saying about the Reese monkeys, right? Now, if you see them sitting on a wall and you come by and, you know, they'll be looking around. As soon as you look at them, then, you know, they stop looking at you and look somewhere else and look really cool, you know. Tough, cool, don't mess, you know, like that. And they never make eye contact. If you watch, it's like you want to learn how to be cool, stand on a street corner and cut the profile. All you have to do is, you know, spend 5 minutes and watch one of these Reese monkeys. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's cool. So if you want to be a monkey, then yes, this is where it's at. Right? Right? And yes, they do spend a lot of time running after the girls, yes.
And also, because when Brahmas do things voluntarily, they don't have to, but they follow them as a very good example. So everybody else kind of doesn't, because they are the king and they have to obey the laws. But when you see somebody who does things voluntarily, that is very inspiring.
Yes, it's very inspiring. But taking it a step further, it's not just that they're doing it for example, because if I'm only doing it for example, means I don't really need to do it, and so, but I'm doing it for others, so I'm superior, so I'm setting. It's actually their purity is such that that's the way they work. Does that make sense? They function like that. So naturally then they're happy to work in that way. So that's the whole thing in the Varnashram is, everybody has a senior and junior, but they, just because you're senior doesn't mean that you're not serving the junior.
So that is a more holistic outlook, where, you know, the Varnashram stick as the body of the Lord, so the different parts of the body, they never separate.
Yeah, they're never separated, they cooperate, you know. And they cooperate. The foot doesn't think, no, I want to feed the mouth, why I can't feed the mouth, you know, this is, how you say, what do you call it? You know, when someone gets to do something and you don't. And,
discrimination.
Yes, discrimination, you know, I'm being discriminated against, why I can't feed the mouth or like that. And does that make sense? And the counselors means that they want to see the good of the king, right? So that's how it works. So even though Shudra means he's working for the benefit of who he's working for, but that's because they're superior and that's the proper mood, then he'll be nice. But here is they're senior, but at the same time as they're always working for his good. So these are underlying principles that are there, that are always working. Does that make sense? So those you have to catch. Then you can function in any part of the Varnashram system. Yeah? Something to say. And the counselor said, O king, that father of thine, that protector of the whole earth, that foremost of all persons obedient to the scriptures, became addicted to the sports of the field. Even as Pandu of mighty arms, that foremost of all bearers of the bow in battle, right here, addicted to the sports. They may be involved in sports, but when they're addicted, that's where the problem starts, right? Like that, and then you have to get a, that's one of those special kind of like bit patches, you know, and you put it on your arm and stuff, gets rid of the, right? So, yeah, nowadays they're pretty big, you know, because it's like they have to work in like gigabyte bits, you know, gigabyte patches and stuff, you know. Before it was easy, you know, kilobyte patches were. You can talk to David afterwards. Explain the technicalities of it. He bade over to us all the affairs of state. It means us, so it means these are the same counselors, same Brahmins that were there at the time of of you know, his father. He made over to us all the affairs of state from the most trivial to the most important, right? So that means the king would take care of everything. He would see that it's done. Not necessarily that he himself would personally do it, but he would see to the detail, right? He wouldn't just do overall things, but he would actually see that everything is going properly, everybody's satisfied. Right? One day, going into the forest, he pierced a deer with an arrow. And having pierced it, he followed it quickly on foot into the deep woods, armed with sword and quiver. He could not, however, come upon the lost deer. 60 years of age and decrepit, he was soon fatigued and became hungry. He then saw in the deep woods a high-souled rishi. The rishi was then observing the vow of silence. The king asked him about the deer, but though asked, he made no reply. At last the king, already tired with exertion and hunger, suddenly became angry with that rishi, sitting motionless like a piece of wood, in observance of his vow of silence. Indeed, the king knew not that he was a Muni observing the vow of silence. Swayed by anger, thy father insulted him, O excellent one of the Bharata race. The king, thy father, taking up from the ground with the end of his bow a dead snake, placed it on the shoulders of that Muni of pure soul. But the Muni spake not a word good or bad, and was without anger. He continued in the same posture, bearing the dead snake. Right? So that means he was also aware of what's going on, but he didn't get disturbed. Yes?
It says that at the age of 60, he was already old and decrepit. So does that mean they have only a few years of youth?
Basically, you get the idea is that youth is the same amount of time, it's just you're an adult longer. Right? Well, think about it. Yeah, instead of being a wrinkle for 20 years, you get to be a wrinkle for 200 years. Okay, section 50. Saudi continued, the minister said, that king of kings then, spent with hunger and exertion, and having placed the snake upon the shoulders of that Muni, came back to his capital. See, they keep pointing out that he didn't know he was observing a vow of silence, right? Still, you'd be a little more careful, because that's why they say the anger, because anger, then one might do something that's not exactly proper, because anger stems from ignorance, right? Right? It means destruction comes from ignorance. So therefore, there is the aspect that anger clouds intelligence. Does that make sense? That king of kings then, spent with hunger and exertion, having placed the snake on the shoulders of the Muni, came back to his capital. The Muni had a son, born of a cow of the name of Sringan. He was widely known, possessed of great prowess and energy, and very wrathful. Going every day to his preceptor, he was in the habit of worshipping him. Commanded by him, Sringan was returning home. When he heard from a friend of his about the insult of his father by thy parent, and, O tiger amongst kings, he heard that his father, without having committed any fault, was bearing, motionless, like a statue upon his shoulders, a dead snake placed thereon. O king, the rishi, insulted by thy father, was severe in ascetic penances. The foremost of munis, the controller of passions, what was that? Oh, just a bug. And ever engaged in wonderful acts. His soul was enlightened with ascetic penances, and his organs and their functions were under complete control. His practices and his speech were both very nice, right? It means, in other words, he's practicing such severe austerities and all that, but still is gentle and pleasant. Does that make sense? Sometimes we see a person will be very austere and everything like this, but they're rough, you know? You know, it's just like, okay, today I'm fasting. You know, and somebody asks, if you like to serve prashad. No, I'm fasting. Don't you see I'm fasting? You know, let those, sense gratifiers, let them serve. You know, but that's not gentle. That's still anger. So there's some ignorance there. So he's very pure, and that. So it's like his organs, his practices and speech, or he may be very gentle, but his speech is rough, or his speech is gentle and his actions are rough, right? But both, his speech and his actions were very, very nice. He was contented and without avarice. He was without meanness of any kind and without envy. Right? Contented means whatever he has, he's happy with. And he wasn't like desirous of so many things more. Right? Because that's contentment means that, what you have, you're comfortable with. If more things come, fine. But if they don't, you're okay. Yes? Yes. I don't know. Maybe that will come up as a question later. This is the Mahabharata, so I'm sure it will be answered, that one. I myself don't know. But, we had all kinds of things going on then. Like Rishi Sringa, at the time of Ramachandra, he was born from a deer. That's why he had little deer horns on his head, like that. And his father was so upset with the, the society girls, no, with the upstarts, that he decided he was not even going to see women or know what women were. So when the women came to the ashram dressed up as brahmacharis, then he didn't know they were women, like that.
And one Chinese sage,
he's got horns also.
Yeah, he wears a deer skin.
Oh, maybe it's Rishi Sringa. without meanness of any kind, so he doesn't need to get back at anyone or prove himself or that. You know, it's just he goes on, he has his life and others have theirs. Without envy, he was old and used to observe the vow of silence, and he was the refuge whom all creatures might seek in distress. Such was the Rishi insulted by thy father. The son, however, of that Rishi in wrath cursed thy father. Though young in years, the powerful one was old in ascetic splendor. Right? It means even though he was young, he was actually very mature in his asceticism. Right? So that means even as a kid, he could be very austere, very focused, very like that. So it's not that I'm a kid, so therefore I can't do. No, he could do like that. It's just focused. Dhruva Maharaj is five, right? His austerities were such the whole universe couldn't breathe when he stopped breathing, right? So then, you know, it can be done. Speedily touching water, he spake, burning as it were with spiritual energy and rage, these words in allusion to thy father. Behold the power of my asceticism, directed by my words. The snake Takshaka of powerful energy and virulent poison shall within 7 nights hence burn with his poison the wretch that has placed the dead snake upon my unoffending father. And having said this, he went to where his father was, and seeing his father, he told him of his curse. The tiger amongst rishis thereupon sent to thy father a disciple of his named Gaurmukha, of amiable manners and possessed of every virtue. And having rested a while after arrival at court, he told the king everything, saying in the words of his master, thou hast been cursed, O king, by my son. Takshaka shall burn thee with his poison. Therefore, O king, be careful. O Janamejaya, hearing these terrible words, thy father took every precaution against the powerful snake, Takshaka. So austerity gives spiritual power. Spiritual meaning, you know, how to say, is stemming from, you know, the potency of Brahman, you know, the soul, the activity like this. But we see here as much of the time it's used materially, right? And when the seventh day had arrived, a Brahmana Rishi named Kasyapa desired to come to the monarch. But the snake Takshaka saw Kasyapa. And the prince of snakes spake unto Kasyapa without loss of time, saying, where dost thou go so quickly? And what is the business on which thou goest? Kasyapa replied, saying, O Brahmana, I am going whither King Pariket, that best of the Kurus, is. He shall today be burnt by the poison of the snake Takshaka. I shall go there quickly in order to cure him. In fact, in order that, protected by me, the snake may not bite him to death. Takshaka answered, saying, why dost thou seek to revive the king to be bitten by me? I am that Takshaka. O Brahmana, behold the wonderful power of my poison. Thou art incapable of reviving that monarch when bit by me. So saying, Takshaka then and there bit a lord of the forest, a banyan tree. And the banyan tree, as soon as it was bit by the snake, was converted into ashes. Right? Now, he's not going to bite some small tree, right? You know, it's like, yes, see my prowess, and I go over and pick up a little weed and pull it out. See how powerful, you know, you go to whatever's the biggest tree there, right? This is a forest, so forests are around, they're not like nowadays, you know, you don't have people go out and bothering them, so big trees. So he'll pick the biggest tree there and bite that to show, you know, what his poison's like, yeah? And the banyan, as soon as it was bit by the snake, was converted into ashes. But Kasyapa, O king, revived it. Takshaka thereupon tempted him, saying, tell me thy desire. And Kasyapa too, thus addressed, spake again unto Takshaka, saying, I go there from desire of wealth. And Takshaka thus addressed, then spake unto the high-souled Kasyapa in these soft words, O sinless one, take from me more wealth than thou expectest from that monarch, and go back. And Kasyapa, that foremost of men, thus addressed by the snake, and receiving from him as much wealth as he desired, wended his way back.
That's a common line as well.
Means?
How much are they paying you?
Yeah. So it goes way back. And Kasyapa going back, Takshaka approached in disguise, blasted with the fire of his poison thy virtuous father, the first of kings. Then staying in his mansion with all precautions. After that, thou wast, O tiger amongst men, been installed on the throne. And, O best of monarchs, we have thus told thee all that we have seen and heard, cruel though the account is. And hearing all about the discomfiture of thy royal father and of the insult of the Rishi Utanka, decide thou, decide that which should follow. Utanka, remember? Utanka, he with the Takshaka stole the earrings. So Takshaka has already bothered that Brahmin, and now he's then bit Parikit. So they're trying to discuss, should something be done about this Takshaka, right? As a king, he's making a judgment here. Sauti continued, King Janamejaya, that chastiser of enemies, then spake up to all his ministers. And he said, when did ye learn all that happened upon that banyan reduced to ashes by Takshaka, and which, wonderful as it is, was afterwards revived by Kasyapa? Assuredly, my father could not have died, for the poison could have been neutralized by Kasyapa with his mantras. That worst of snakes, of sinful soul, thought within his mind that if Kasyapa resuscitated the king bit by him, he, Takshaka, would be an object of ridicule in the world owing to the neutralization of his poison. Assuredly, having thought so, he pacified the Brahmana. I have devised a way, however, of inflicting punishment upon him. I like to know, however, what ye saw or heard, what happened in the deep solitude of the forest, namely, the words of Takshaka and the speeches of Kasyapa. Having known it, I shall devise the means of exterminating the snake race. Right, so now he's heard the story. So generally what one is dealing with is one looks at it and thinks, oh, Kasyapa, you know, he was just, you know, greedy for money and got paid off and went. But, you know, Takshaka is kind of avoided. But here he's pointing out that actually it's Takshaka is at fault. Because he wanted to, otherwise why would he offer to pay him? What does he care? His job is just to go bite Parikit and leave. So what is his problem if Kasyapa comes and revives him? Right? Brahmins go all the time to kings for wealth, so what's the problem there? It's a natural thing. He goes, pleases the king, he gets some wealth, you know, needed wealth, and goes on. So that's not normal. So why would Takshaka therefore say, I will give the money? Does that make sense? So that's what he's trying to ascertain. Is that so? Now he sees that he was thinking people will say, "Oh, you're not a very powerful snake because you know you bit Parikit, a human being, and he was revived. So you know, no big deal, right? No one may not understand the power of Kasyapa, who got this neutralizing potency from Lord Brahma himself, right? They'll just think Takshaka's a small timer. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah." But he wants to make sure, because the point is this is out in the middle of the forest. No one heard. How do we know this is the true account? Right? Otherwise, it could have been changed. Because, in other words, somebody guilty should not be let free, but somebody innocent should never be taken as guilty. Right? Does that make sense? Freeing a thief who's guilty and convicting a honest man, then both are wrong. Does that make sense? The minister said, O hear, O monarch, of him who told us before of the meeting between that foremost Brahmin and that prince of snakes in the woods, right? So now they're bringing forth a witness. A certain person, O monarch, had climbed up that tree containing some dry branches with the object of breaking them from sacrificial fuel, right? A Brahmin climbed in the tree, that banyan tree, to get some wood for his sacrifice. He was not perceived either by the snake or by the Brahmin. And, O king, that man was reduced to ashes along with the tree itself. And, O king of kings, he was revived with the tree by the power of the Brahmin. Right? So he was there, heard the conversation, got reduced to ashes, got brought back to life, and then heard the end of the conversation. You know, and then he gets to go home and tell that to his wife. Hey, honey, never guess what happened today. And O king, that man, a Brahmin's menial, having come to us, it's a servant to the Brahmin, having come to us, represented fully everything as it happened between Takshaka and the Brahmana. Thus have we told thee, O king, all that we have seen and heard, and having heard it, O tiger amongst king, ordained that which should follow. Sauti continued, King Janamejaya, having listened to the words of his ministers, was sorely afflicted with grief and began to weep. And the monarch began to squeeze his hands. And the lotus-eyed king began to breathe a long and hot breath, shed tears, and shrieked aloud. And possessed with grief and sorrow and shedding copious tears, and touched water according to the form, the monarch spake. And reflecting for a moment, as if settling something in his mind, the angry monarch addressed all ministers with the words, I have heard your account of my father's ascension to heaven. Know ye now what my fixed resolve is. I think no time must be lost in avenging this injury upon the wretch Takshaka that killed my father. He burnt my father, taking Sringi only a secondary cause. For malignity alone he made Kasyapa return. If that Brahmin had arrived, my father assuredly would have lived. What would he have lost if the king had revived by the grace of Kasyapa and the precautionary measures of his ministers? From ignorance of the effects of my wrath, he prevented Kasyapa, that excellent of Brahmins, whom he could not defeat, from coming to my father with the desire of reviving him. The act of aggression is great on the part of the wretch Takshaka, who gave wealth unto that Brahmin in order that he might not revive the king. I must now avenge myself on my father's enemy, to please myself, the Rishi Uttanka, and you all. So, and there, right? So now he's judged now that it was malignant. It wasn't just, he wants to prove his own prowess, right? So it's not just that he is the instrument of the Brahmin's curse, but he has his own agenda also. Otherwise, what would he have cared, right? And then Pricket would be alive now. So that's why he's finished. So what he's saying, but he was ignorant of the result of that. Okay, he saved himself then. But now because of that will be the snake sacrifice and will destroy his race. Right? So it would have been better off to, you know, his race would have been fine and he would have, you know, how you say it? Yes.
They didn't mention the point that Kasyapa actually did meditate.
It's not here, but because his point, because Kasyapa is not in question here. The question that they're judging is there. If it need be, then he would say, how would he just for wealth have done this? Then they would have said, he saw, you know, it was there. But the point is even Pricket could not have been revived. Still, it was his determination to do it. So Takshaka was wrong in his behavior. But to make this very clear here, so someone, in other words, you're dealing with those who are not necessarily administrators themselves or know the science. So it has to be very clear. So here it's Takshaka's wrong. Right, and then the other one before, when it brought up, it looked like Kasyapa was wrong because we weren't judging Takshaka. So therefore, in his meditation, he says he's going to die anyway. Okay, take the dakshin and go. So then he's off the hook, right? Does that make sense? So in other words, you present what facts are necessary for the particular audience or situation that you're dealing with. Does that make sense? Okay, so ends here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Wow. So now what did you do before to the pump that had developed such anger and enmity in the pump that it wanted to get this revenge?
Well,
Pump it too fast, I see. Oh, and then you let go when you're pumping too fast, so, yeah, okay. One is don't pump too fast, and two, don't let go when you're pumping too fast. If you pump at the right speed, even if you let go, nothing will happen. What happens when you're pumping too fast means the thing that's here, you're pumping faster than it can pull, so you're creating a vacuum, right? So you pushed it down, but the water's here, but you pulled the thing to here. Right, so that means that this, the water being heavier, because the water goes down 100 feet, and the pump thing is only this big, so it will have to go back, and when it goes back, then the thing punches. I guess what we could do actually, maybe we should get some, you know, like kids' boxing gloves and put them on the end of the pumps when they do like that, when they do get punched by the pump, and it will be enough. Yeah, sure, those metal masks. Okay. See you, gentlemen, later.